Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I chose the Irish song Macushla, which means my darling, because 9-1-1 is coming up and love is forever and death is a dream. And I did a tribute on 9-1-1 as my in my book, The Spirit of America Party. I think it's Chapter 3, Terrorism, that refers to the greatest military defeat in the history of the United States. And I selected, if you go to my website, Spirit of America Party Radio Show. .com, you will see the 14 chapters in my book. Chapter 1 is the most dangerous chapter in the whole book. It's the one that I feel is the number one problem in the United States that will destroy us, and the title of that chapter is Drugs Suck. I think number 2 is terrorism, and number 3 is flag burners of record, and number 4 is save the kids. But In the chapter on terrorism, you will see a picture of all of the Americans, and they were all Americans up there, whether they came from Nigeria or the Bronx. The day that they took that hit, that they became Americans, even if they were tourists. And the classic photo of the people trapped in the tower on the 88th floor with the big hole in the building. And there are photos floating around. You can see a girl hanging on the on a torn piece of metal, trying to get out as far as she can to get help. And you know there are no ladders that can reach up that high. And there were no ropes around to rappel down on. We were not ready. We were not ready at all. And we're not ready today. 12 years later, we're not ready. But the tune Makushla was dedicated to the women. And then one woman in particular, who I never met and don't know, but I heard her story, and I dedicated that tune to all women, but in particular a girl named Melissa, who had called home to say goodbye to her mother. And in my book I say, I'll bet you that recording is still on her mother's answering machine. So I dedicated the tune Makushla to Melissa. Now, we lost 3,000 on 9-1-1 at the World Trade Center. Some people will tell you it was only 2,800, but they don't believe in pro-life. And there were 200 babies that died that day that were aborted without their consent or their mother's consent on that day. So it's a 3,000 body count. And with 9-1-1 coming up, I just thought I would give you a reminder. And I'm trying not to get too heavy. But I see things coming our way. And I have to tell you, 9-1-1 was the result of Democrat inefficiency and cover-ups. Because in 1993, we got notice that Al-Qaeda was coming. And we laughed it off. And President Pinocchio Pants covered up the first 9-1-1 attack. And those are Clinton Towers that came down. One is for Bill and one is for Hillary. And the Democrats are the masters of blame and deflection. They will always take your eyes off the prize. They will never let you see the truth. They will misguide you. And the Democrat Party today is now the Communist Party. Because they have no God. It's run by perverts. They have no country. They vote to burn the flag. And they have no best interest of the United States at heart. And I know you don't want to hear that, but you know what? Like Harry Truman said, teach your grandmother to suck eggs. And Harry Truman was the last real Democrat. And you know what Harry Truman said about politics? He said he had two jobs in his lifetime. One as a politician and the other as a piano player in a brothel, and they were pretty much the same job. How do you like that, huh? So 9-1-1, the anniversary is coming up. It took us 12 years to get the towers back up. And my biggest worry is they're not going to stay up. Oh, but everything's under control. We're the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Who says that? The Democrats that get you into war and leave you to die on the battlefield. They Benghazi you. They go with all kinds of excuses like blood clots. Yeah, there was no blood clot. The only blood clot was the blood on the walls of the beach house in Benghazi. That was run by the CIA. Yeah. Weren't they ready? We're in trouble. But I want to make your day, and I just, one of the things that startled me today I'm going to share with you, I turned on my TV, and I thought that the government had fallen. My TV automatically goes to Fox, the Truth Channel. It's the only Truth Channel left. And the others are all communist networks. Anything that has a scene, it is a communist network. ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, CBS, yeah, NBC, nothing but communist. ABC, always be communist. CNN, the Communist News Network. I'm going to tell you something. If Putin came here and ran for president, he beat Obama by 2 points. And all he would have to say in his campaign slogan is, I'm less communist than he is. But when I turned on my TV today, my eyes fell upon an Arabic symbol. And I said, my God, they've taken over. It's all downhill now. I quickly ran out the door and looked up and down the street to see if Russian tanks were coming, if there were Chinese road guards directing traffic. And I thought it was all over. What it was Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera has sprouted its wings. And so I did a little blog, and I'll share it with you. And I also shared it with Al Jazeera, just so you know. And I got a polite comeback, which I never got from Fox. Fox doesn't care about me. Fox doesn't love me. And I've been so loyal and continue to do so. It is interesting to see. Oh, the subject is Al Jazeera look-see. Goodbye NBC, MSNBC, CNN, ABC News Networks. It is interesting to see how quick a shooting star can take over a country. Al Jazeera, who I jokingly called Al Jazeera, is no zero. In my TV realm, they now sit one click away from Fox. Al Jazeera on my cable is 114. One click away from a 117 Fox Business and 118 Fox News. What luck for them that they got so close to Fox. Surely it was not planned to be so. What startled me about the infusion of Al Jazeera into the American brain receiver was how quickly you could be witness to a government takeover. One day your country watches yesterday's news, and the next day, voila, government TV with a new world disorder, brainwashing function. And you know what? We're pretty much on that brainwashing function now if you're watching the C channels. Up to now, the situation comedies have been promoting the perverted Hollywood culture. You only have to watch reruns of the MTV Awards to see a Marley Cyrus. I call him Marley. Yeah. Like Jacob Marley in the Christmas drill? Oh, man. Yeah, I call her Marley Cyrus. You only have to see her do her impression of a naked scarecrow in a cornfield of captive minds. The Al Jazeera America of today will be different 1 year from now. The beachhead narrators will take the most casualties. Right now, in the beginning, everybody's afraid to be seen on Al Jazeera because there might be anti-Muslim rhetoric and feedback. Yeah, I used that word. I stole that rhetoric word because the politicians use it all the time. So I just borrowed it from a crooked politician. So, waiting on feedback, yep, the beachhead narrators will take the most casualties, and the ones that are on there now will all be replaced. Waiting on feedback from the public polls, reaction checks will be tailored. So, they got their feelers out. All the tentacles are out. The octopus is looking around. The one breath of fresh air that Al Jazeera brings is better crisis footage in the Mideast where Western journalists cannot blend in and get closest to the facts. Already I know that the Syrian people can survive an Iranian-Russian nerve gas attack with the simple atropine syrette, that should be in every citizen's kit by tomorrow. Hey, UN, how about getting out of the nightclubs and do your job delivering atropine to Syria? Must the USA do everything? I enjoyed, there was an American lady from the distrusted Washington Post who called it right about the balance of power swinging back to Assad due to the infusion of Iranian troops and Russian advisors. Her last name was Lolly. I can't remember her first name. I hope to see more of her. She will catch my channel-changing eye, because now I'm going to be comparing Fox Truth to international truth or propaganda. Not sure yet, but I think I know a lie when I see one. The good news is I no longer have to switch from American mainstream Fox to the communist networks of NBC, CNN, and ABC. I can now enjoy a more international flavor in my opinion mix. My only concern is the symbol of Al Jazeera. I can't read Arabic, but usually Arabic logos reflect the view there is but one God, and he is Allah. If it has that symbol, there is not another religious slogan on any public network in the land due to communist secularization. If Al Jazeera has a religious symbol, I insist that Fox Business put up the menorah and Fox News put up the fish. The one point the Washington Post lady made was that Obama has no liberty bells. And I agree. So good luck, Al Jazeera, and may the blending go two ways. If you really want to get the locals on your team, play the Star Spangled Banner at opening. You will be the first network to love your new home. Fi iman Allah, Abu Tam, the American fundamentalist. And then I recommended they get to my radio show, which you're a proud member of. And probably the only one. Everybody else is under house arrest. YouTube, Save the Kids. You got to see that one. I'm listening to this lie about choice. It's a woman's choice. What choice does the baby have? The baby doesn't have a choice. If you really want to give a baby a choice, the first thing out of the womb should be his signed absentee ballot. Yeah. YouTube, SEAL Team 6 is sacrificed. That's a sad one. If you take a look at that video, it's going to break your heart. You're going to see the best of America, and they were shredded in a shitty chopper on a bad mission, badly planned by fools. And they walked right into an ambush. And that's a sad one. SEAL Team 6 is sacrificed. And if you want to get a refresher on Benghazi, do YouTube, copy of Benghazi 911 call. And you might have to put Abu Tam on there because there's a lot of 911 call Benghazis up there. So welcome to the Spirit of America party. And when we come back, I'll have more things to chat about. I got to do a commercial. This is, I'm doing an Al-Qaeda commercial. It's a fatwa registration.
From out of the East New York City, the wind carries the cry of the Razuli. Oh, my beloved, rise up. Touch the eyes, touch the lips, touch the ears. Touch the forehead to the ground. Fart high. Oh, my beloved. I am sending out the message to the potential Islamic martyrs. Greetings from the Ayatollah, the Truth, the Razuli of the Big Apple. Now you can register for jihad in the comfort of your home. You can blow yourself up without having to leave the house. If you sign up right now, you get a free fatwa pillow for your big fatwa ass. And the good news is the Ayatollah, the Truth, is paying an 80 virgin commission with a coupon. Just send $50 in a self-addressed anthrax envelope to the follower of the Prophet, Prophit, Cave 608, Berkeley, California, Nowhere, USA. be sure to send the $50 in a separate clean envelope so we can register your name in paradise. I has spoken. Abu Tam, the American Fundamentalist. www.captainsblog.us. www.spiritofamericaparty.com. And www.pirateradio. Thank you, my beloveds. Send the money now.
Okay. And all you senators who and congressmen who voted to burn the flag, could you just step outside? We're going to take a group picture. Could you get in a little closer together? Could you stand straight? Big smile now. Big smile.
Ready? Aim! Fire!
Oh, we're going to go religion now. Answer me, Lord above. This is when guys used to sing about God.
Answer me, Lord above, just what sin have I been guilty of? Tell me how I came to lose my love. Please answer me, oh Lord. She was mine yesterday. I believe that love was here to stay. Won't you tell me where I've gone astray? Please answer me, oh Lord. If she's happier without me, don't tell her I care. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you. Please answer me, oh Lord. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you.
Like that? Frankie Lane had a good voice. He did a lot of Western songs. Okay, next topic. Very important. The subject tonight was it? Penny for your thoughts? Who did KGB agent Snowden leave behind? Welcome to the expert opinions of Abu Tam, a protector of freedom and pretty women. What? What's that? How old is she? Nope. Can't help her. Wake up, O useless of A, and face the communist facts that when the wall came down, the KGB came in. Surely you don't believe Snowden only had one whistle. Nobody gets that close to military secrets unless they have help and a team coach. The other Jane Fonda, who leaked 740,000 memos to Al-Qaeda and never got anyone killed, not so Private Manning, who now wants as his reward a sex change operation and has taken the name Chelsea Clinton under the Democamo Department of Justice hobo sexual rule. Don't squeak and don't leak unless the secrets. K Can we deny his request and form it into affirmative action, demo, camo, pervert, party chaplain, still a major Hassan? Psychological advisor to returning troops is suffering mental fatigue. You know what his recommendations were? You wonder, right? Guaranteed it was not say five Hail Marys. It was probably drink haram juice, do drugs, and kill as many Americans as I will tomorrow at my Occupy Wall Street demonstration. They say the magic words and get 72 virgins, 80 with a coupon. All the more reason to give him Manning's sex change operation. They say he's not going to be killed right away. Oh, who would have guessed? You got a president who gave bin Laden 4 months to get away before he finally kicked the can down the road. Yeah, oh man, are we in trouble. I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes. I got to tell you something. I was listening to Aaron Klein, all right? So this is Israeli intelligence. I'm calling from Tel Aviv. And a woman called from New York, and she says, I'm very worried. He says, about what? She says, I'm afraid we're going to lose an aircraft carrier or a battleship in this Persian Gulf because the Chinese have done it already with their silkworm missiles. And Aaron Klein agreed with her. Now, you think about that. There are 5,000 Americans on an aircraft carrier who sleep on a nuclear reactor and have been doing so for 40 years. You know, Greenpeace there, you know, global warming. We're fighting global warming. Let's make a movie where we win everything. Yes, we'll fight the aliens. We win. We always beat the aliens. We're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We lost the World Trade Center. Do you have any idea how vulnerable we were that day? Do you think we're any less vulnerable now? What are the odds that the new World Trade Center is going to stay up for more than 7 years? Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, we're in a 100-year war. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, Bush got us into this. No, Bush didn't get us into this. Clinton got us into it. Democrats always get you into war and they leave you to die on the battlefield. And then they promise to never run again. And they walk off the battlefield in the middle of the war and say, I've decided not to run as president of the United States. I've done enough damage. I'm on the way. I'm on the way to the ranch. And that's not the Bush ranch. George Bush, his problem was different. He came in. He thought he was going to have a Clinton good old time, you know, a few dinners and shake a few hands, make a few decisions, and everything was going to be hunky-dory. And then while he was sitting in a classroom full of children, he looked out over the children as Andy Carr was whispering in his ear, we just got our ass kicked in three different places. And he had to look at those little kids sitting at those desks and say, holy shit, the whole world is coming up against us, and I'm sitting here looking at the helpless of the helpless, and I got to get my ass out of here, and I got to go to work. 22 days later, he was all gray. Yeah, and he did more than this Lollapalooza is going to do, let me tell you. So Bush had a fireball on his plate. This guy is making a big fireball, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He thinks he's going to do his community activity, yeah, his community action. Let me tell you, man, this guy's in trouble. He's in big trouble. And if he screws up, there won't be a black in office for the next 100 years. Yeah, I'm telling you. You have no idea what's coming. There are three plans in life, yours, mine, and God's. And we've been killing 4,700 babies a day. You think about that. You think about that. To conclude, we are more vulnerable today than ever in the history of the USA. Our three greatest weaknesses are intelligence, the ability to negotiate, and unity. What is John Kerry going to do? He's going to give a speech. Then Obama's going to give a speech. And then they're going to turn it over to the FBI. Look at the military. You had General McChrystal in there that was running the entire Afghan war. He was the leader of all of the forces in Afghanistan. And what did they bring him down on? He made fun of Joe Biden. He said that the biggest enemy is not on the battlefield. It's the wimps in the White House. And for this, he was punished. He was punished, and the politically correct people took his baton away. And what do we got? And they gave it to a German before they gave it to the guy that got caught, Petraeus. Poor Petraeus. They gave it to Petraeus because he was responsible for the surge in Iraq. He was responsible for the surge in Iraq, okay, and gave Bush a victory in Iraq. And Obama has undone everything. Then, unfortunately, for Petraeus, he got a surge in another part of his body, and he was overpowered by love. Yeah, he was overpowered by teenage love. Oh, man. And he was head of the CIA. Oh, we got everything covered, man. We're ready for anything. Everything that we had as an advantage was given away in 740,000 emails. Everything that we had as an advantage was given away by Comrade Snowden, who works for the KGB, okay? Now we're back to square one. We're back to square one, and we're weak, okay? We don't even have the element of secrecy anymore. Anything you want, you can get it at Alice's Restaurant, or you can get it from the CIA, NSA. Oh, man, I'll tell you, we're in trouble. So to conclude, we're more vulnerable today than ever in the history of the USA. Our three greatest weaknesses are intelligence, the ability to negotiate, and unity. Unity. This did not happen just by accident. This happened by design. Those who divide us will destroy us. A six-year-old today will be eligible for the draft in 12 years. And you want to know something? We may not have 12 years to bring back a draft. But the draft is coming back. You can rest assured of that. No draft, you say? Tell that to the French who were pulled off the streets in World War I in suits and sent in taxicabs to plug holes at the front. Tell that to the Iraqis who were pulled out of nightclubs and sent to Kuwait with a blue suit and nice shoes. Yeah, in a foxhole. And told, when he drops the gun and he's dead, you take his gun. And don't forget to shout Allahu Akbar. And never can happen. Happens all the time. It is not finished yet. What is not finished? The World Trade Center. But the WTC replacement has taken 12 years to be built by this generation. The Empire State Building took 1 year and is still standing. How many tears and how many years will the new WTC last? You know it is a prime target. So, check YouTube, SEAL Team 6 Sacrificed. YouTube, copy of Benghazi 911 call, Abu Tam. YouTube, flag burners of record, that'll break your heart. 40 days before 911, they voted to burn the flag. And I'm in church tonight. And it's one, a priest on the altar, no altar boys, and sparsely filled a pews. The collection basket went around faster than a frisbee. And the priest, in his recessional hymn by voice, sang, God Bless America. And you know what happens in churches? Usually people that are being persecuted run there for protection, especially in Africa. And once they're all holed up inside, that they get butchered. But they go to the place that they feel the safest, and that's with God. YouTube, save the kids. We got to stop killing 4,700 American kids a day. Planned slaughterhood kills 1,200 white babies, 1,100 black babies, 700 Latino niños every day, like it's a business. I give you a tune. Give you a tune. This is a tune about a guy that got in trouble with a girl. And he's got to get down on his knees. Again. We got some exciting news. Rebels admit responsibility for chemical weapons attack. Wow. This is a mess. Terrorists with these weapons is not a pleasant thought. Check it out. I'm still wondering about that plane that went down and somebody seen something going up from the water. Remember that one in New York? How about the Egyptian airline that was crashed by a jihadist who committed suicide? You know, on that, it was the pilot's name was Batuti. He was the co-pilot, and they said he went crazy, and his wife said he would never commit suicide. Maybe he was fighting for control of the plane. The passengers were Egyptian military officers who were returning to Egypt from training in the United States. Nothing sinister there. No incentive for anybody there. Syrian rebels in the Damascus suburb of Ghouta. I do better with the Arabic. Have admitted to Associated Press a correspondent who I don't trust. Don't even know him, but I don't trust him at these Associated Press. Dale Gavlak sounds Russian to me. That they were responsible for last week's chemical weapons incident, which Western powers have blamed on Bashar al-Assad's forces, revealing that the casualties were the result of an accident caused by rebels mishandling chemical weapons provided to them by Saudi Arabia. Oh, man, whose propaganda machine works best? From numerous interviews with doctors, Ghouta residents, rebel fighters, and their families, many believe that certain rebels received chemical weapons via, oh man, this one's going to be a rocker, via the Saudi intelligence chief, Prince Bandar bin Sultan. Do you know Prince Bandar? He was a big playboy when he was here. He was here for years. He is, as a matter of fact, he could pass for an Afro-American. If he put on a suit, everybody would think he was a brother. And he was now he is a Saudi intelligence chief, Prince Bandar bin Sultan. And we're responsible for carrying out the deadly gas attack, writes Gavlik, who works for the KGB, along with Private Manning, Major Hassan, and who's the one who did it, the Four Freedom, the other KGB agent, Snowden, Snowjob Snowden. Rebels told Gavlik, let me see, from numerous, yeah, we said that already. Rebels told Gavlik that they were not properly trained on how to handle the chemical weapons or ever told what they were. It appears as though the weapons were initially supposed to be given to the Al-Qaeda offshoot, Jabhat al-Nusra. Continue reading. This is from World War, WWW InfoWars. So, this sounds like counterintelligence. And here's a question. Where did the chemical weapons come from? Oh, they didn't come. They didn't come from Syria because Syria wouldn't let anybody have them. Not from their stockpiles. Well, what are you going to do, Obama? Those weapons are still there. It doesn't matter who set them off. Those weapons are still there. They came from Iraq, you know? And the Democrats don't want to know that. They don't want that to come out because that kills all the lies they've told for the last 12 years. Yeah. Come on. Come on, Obama. What are you going to do? Let's go. Send in our inspectors. You know the guys, the USMC label? Look for the USMC label. When you want to find out who's doing us dirt, look for the USMC label. From Fallujah to Kirkuk. Yeah, oh man, are we in trouble? Rebels told Gavlik that they were not properly trained on how to handle the weapons. And we're very curious about these arms, and unfortunately, some of the fighters handled the weapons improperly and set off explosions. I got to tell you something. Arabs are very cautious and very careful. They have eyes that see when they're not looking. They will be very, very afraid of anything they're not familiar with. So, and of course, you can't believe that because we had a guy that everybody laughed at that brought a steering wheel back for a truck rental refund. Deposit refund after he blew up at the World Trade Center under the Clinton administration of peace with prosperity, but only for me. Yeah. His claims are echoed by another female fighter named Kay, who told Gavlik, say they put a woman in there and tickle him a little bit. They didn't tell us what these arms were or how to use them. We didn't know they were chemical weapons. We never imagined they were chemical weapons. Chemical weapons are usually marked. They have markings, and they're universal markings, international markings. Usually it's in yellow. Abdul Abdel Monaim, the father of an opposition rebel, also told Gavlik, these guys are all working for Obama. Get me out of this war. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to draw that line in the sand. I gave Bin Laden 4 months to get away. What are these people doing? I got to play golf at 2:15. Yeah, they didn't tell us these arms, what they were. Yeah. Oh, yeah. While the others, it was like a tube-like structure. And you know how they described it? As a huge gas bottle. But he didn't think there was gas in there. Yeah, the father names the Saudi militant who provided the weapons as Abu Ayesha. Hey, anything is possible. There's nothing more devious than a devious mind. According According to Abdul Monaim, the weapons exploded inside a tunnel, killing 12 rebels. More than a dozen rebels interviewed reported that their salaries came from the Saudi government, writes Gavlek. Let's face it, the Saudis are fighting the Iranians. We know that. That's not a surprise. And they will do anything. But they prefer to spend money instead of blood. If accurate, this story could completely derail the United States' rush to attack Syria. The weapons of mass destruction are still there. What are you going to do about them? Assad, you want to keep power? Give up all the weapons. Bring them down to the dock. And let the Soviets take them and use them somewhere else. Yeah. Send them back to Iran. Okay. And Gavlak's credibility is very impressive. He has been a Middle East correspondent for 2 decades and also worked for National Public Radio and written articles for the BBC News. Oh, my God. He's a KGB agent. Yeah, National Public Radio. Oh, my God. Are those the ones that fired Juan Williams because he was afraid of Arabs? Huh? After they took a big bribe? Was that the, from Qatar? Was that Qatar money? Oh, yeah, that was Qatar money, I think. Yeah, the website, you know, we've been taking money under the table from the Arabs as politicians for decades. If they ever brought out the Saudi black book of payoffs, there would be suicides throughout the land. Yeah, and I bet you there's a guy in Saudi Arabia right now just laughing at what I just said. And he knows. The website on which the story originally appeared, Mint Press, which is currently down as a result of huge traffic. Yeah, FBI agents running through the offices, is a legitimate media organization based in Minnesota. Minnesota! Isn't that the home of Al Franken? The communist comedian? Oh, God. What are we gonna, is that the home of Jesse Ventura, who wrestles his opposition to the ground? Unbelievable. Let me take a break. I'll give you a joke that I heard in church. I got a priest that tells jokes during the sermon, and that keeps me awake. It's a short one. A guy dies, he goes to heaven, gets to meet God, and he says, Lord, can I ask you a couple of questions? He says, sure, go ahead. He says, why did you make women's faces so beautiful? He says, so that you would love them. He says, why did you make their bodies so appealing? So that you would love them. But why did you make them just a little bit not too smart? So that they would love you. Okay. Goody, goody. We're going to give you goody, goody.
And he broke it in.
what are we going to do about the land? The home of the, are we becoming, instead of the home of the free, the home of the freaks? Huh? The land of the broke? What's going to happen to us? We're only a couple of hundred years old and we're blowing it. Blowing it big time. Did you know that the Russians have said that, I'm going to tell you my opinion, and then I'll tell you what the press said. The Russians said Obama is like a monkey with a grenade. The press then covered that statement up, and they said the West is like a monkey with a grenade. So you see what kind of news you're getting. You're not getting word for word. You're getting regurgitated news. And you should know, and I just learned this from a guy that's been studying communism for a whole lifetime. And he said that when the Russians sell outdated weapons to African countries and Arab countries, they call the weapons monkey weapons. Okay? So take it with a grain of salt. Now, speaking of tragedy, DeMarquise Elkins faces life in prison when he is sentenced at a later date. At the time of the shooting, he was 17, too young to face the death penalty under Georgia law. But the baby he shot between the eyes was not too young to die. The baby he shot between the eyes got the death penalty. And Marquis Elkins and his family are confident he will receive another trial in which he will be able to present fully his defense. Sherry West testified as she was walking home from the post office with her son the morning of the killing. A gunman demanded her purse, shot her in the leg, and shot her baby in the face after she told him she had no money. Prosecutors, who declined comment after the verdict, said during the two-week trial, Marquis Elkins and his accomplice, a 15-year-old Dominique Lang, are the ones who stopped West. Prosecutors say the older teen pointed a small .22-caliber revolver at West and demanded money. You know, that's a preferred mob hit pistol, because the .22 doesn't exit. It rolls around and does more damage in your body. So, and girls, if you're thinking of getting a gun, a nice little .22-caliber for your own self-protection and preservation, you know, let somebody else fill out the forms on the body. Save yourself. And you guys out there that don't want to get into guns, don't want to own a gun, you should at least take training on how to handle a gun and how to shoot and check and see how good you are and how accurate you can be, because one day you may not have a choice and a gun may be thrust into your hand and it's your life or theirs. So all you guys out there that are anti-gun owning, you should at least be familiar with guns so that you could handle one. God forbid you're in a situation and you need one, and somebody hands you one for your own defense, like when the Soviets take over. So, having said that, let me go back to prosecutors say the older teen pointed a small .22-caliber revolver at West and demanded money. When she refused several times to turn over the money, he fired a warning shot. Then he shot the woman in the leg and the baby right between the eyes. How's that? Did he have to pull the blanket aside to get to the center of the head? Huh? Or was it the baby was wide open? Oh, man. What a nation. We kill 4,700 kids a day, and then we got guys looking for bounties. The kid was 11 months old. His life is, he is no longer on this earth. And his murderer is going to get, he's going to go to the hotel prison. Isn't that great? We got 5 minutes left. We're going to play a pro-gun song.
Oh,
I'm back in the saddle again.
He's got a 44.
Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the reins once more. Toting my old 44. Where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
I'm cutting that short because I just want to read you something, and I don't want to run the clock. The communists are creating a cover story for Obama. They're saying that he's weighing his limited, narrow attack based on the painful legacy of the Iraq War, which has complicated President Barack Obama's efforts to muster support for military action against Syria. No, you got to vote in no confidence, buddy, and they don't want to follow you into the garbage pail. That's what you got. You got to vote in no confidence, and the only ones that voted with you were the French because they know how to surrender quickly. Oh, man, we're in trouble. They're covering already. This guy hasn't even loaded his weapon, and they're already covering in case he does this, in case he does that. The painful legacy of the Iraq War. Let me tell you about going to Iraq. Going to Iraq at the time, you got to take a look. You can never step in another man's shoes at a point in time in history unless you were there, right there on the spot at that very moment. Now, you remember I told you Bush was sitting in the classroom and he got the words that we're getting this shit kicked out of us? Okay? We got planes over New York City that have no guns. We got people that went into airports in Massachusetts and New Jersey and took planes into the air. And they've knocked down the World Trade Center and killed 343 firemen, I think 47 Port Authority workers, officers, all right, and gave us the greatest defeat in the history of the United States. And the first thing that Hillary Clinton said is, what did Bush know and when did he know it? And all of the parrots chimed in. All of the buck passes chimed in. What did Bush know and when did he know it? Yeah, right? How quick they are to, they will never be around when the word blame is used. They vanish. They vaporize. So they're going to say that Bush made the wrong call in Iraq, and Bush made the right call in Iraq. And Bush should have been tougher. Because if Bush had been tougher, the Iranians would be disarming today. And Muammar Gaddafi would still be alive. And hiding. Never forget that. Bush made the call. The word was that Saddam had nukes. The word was Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, mainly gas. And Saddam had proven it because in the village of Halabja, he wiped out the entire Kurd population with his uncle, Chemical Ali. Okay? So when somebody said that Obama... Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and then you see photos of Salmon Park where they have a mock-up of an airplane where they practiced hijackings. And somebody says to Bush, who just heard that he lost a city, this guy's got nukes, and he's a loose cannon on deck. What do you want to do? Let's go get him. And that's what he did. And he didn't have to apologize to anybody. The war was on, and he made the right call. It's the communists who said he made the wrong call. It's the cover-up party of death, the pervert party, the party with no God, the party of drugs for taxes. who betrayed Bush. Okay? Iraq was the right move. Saddam got strung up. His Uday and Qusay, Nancy Pelosi's two kids, they're buried on Sandal Hill. Bush had, you better believe Bush had a better fighting team than Obama has. Obama got rid of McChrystal. McChrystal was the only guy with military experience. Now he's got guys like Dumpster Dempsey, who, yes, Mr. President, what do you want me to do? Okay. Yes, I'll do that. I'll say war. I'll say the word war. Yeah. And Admiral Lemon, who said we'll never fight Iran. Yeah. Tell me that after one of those aircraft carriers is three quarters of the way underwater. You tell me that, you big jerk. So don't let the Obama push Bush's decision to go to Iraq as his excuse. Obama has no excuses. As a matter of fact, Obama is the commander-in-chief. He is the highest-ranking military officer in the United States of America. And according to Article 99 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, he can be shot for cowardice in the face of the enemy. And he's already done it once in Benghazi. Now what's he going to do? Is he going to do it twice? I'm signing off. I'll give you... Oh, let's see if I can find something good. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, I'll give you Gunfight at the OK Corral.
OK Corral. OK their final stand, okay, correct. Oh, my dearest one, must I lay down my gun or take the chance of losing you forever? Duty calls, my back's against the wall. Have you no kind word to say before I ride away? Fired at OK Corral. If the Lord is my friend, we'll meet at the end of the gunfight at OK Corral. Gunfight at OK Corral. Boot Hill, Boot Hill, so cold, so still. Gunfight at OK Corral. OK Corral. Gunfight at OK Corral.
A couple of other news items I'm going to hang in and tell you about. Dave Chappelle walks off the stage after relentless hacking. Well, that's what happens when you entertain animals. They don't show you no respect. Dave Chappelle is a tremendous, talented comedian. His only problem is that he sells dope. He does. When you do dope jokes, you sell dope. But he is talented. He is creative. He has imagination. And he's got to come to the middle of the road, and he's got to entertain everybody. And I wish him well, and I can imagine what the heckling was like. And he had to sit on the stage for 3 minutes and smoke a cigarette, because if he leaves before 5 minutes, he doesn't get paid. So he had to put up with the heckling. People are jerks, especially in the United States today. There's no class. There's no culture. And then the other sad event is Tim Tebow, who signed with the Patriots in June, has been released. And here's a guy named, I won't even mention his name. He says, the problem with Tim Tebow bombing out of football will be that it'll just accelerate the start of his political career. So here's a guy who's afraid of him coming into politics. You know why he's afraid of him, don't you? Because he's a friend of God. Tebow signed with the Patriots in June, inking a two-year deal without any guaranteed money. Although the team didn't waste a time in selling his jersey to fans, the 26-year-old didn't impress during the preseason. He appeared in three of the Patriots' four preseason games, completing 11 of 30 passes for 145 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. And Tebow says, I'm blessed because of my faith, because you don't have to worry about the future, because I know who holds my future. Tebow told, and of course all the depressed threw up, you know, and squeezed their statues of Satan. Tebow told reporters after the Patriots' final preseason game with roster cuts looming, you know what they're not doing? You see, Tebow works best when it's the 11th hour situation and nobody can take the pressure. That's when Tebow shines. They got to save him for the 11th hour. A lot of times people use that as a cliche, but it's something I try to live by. It really gives you a lot of peace in whatever circumstance you're in. This guy is a world leader. His release by the Patriots is the latest plot twist in what had once been a storybook rise to NFL stardom. Since piloting the Denver Broncos to a stirring overtime playoff win in 2012, Tebow has endured a tumultuous season with the Jets, and they didn't play him. They didn't play him. They bought him. They bought him for show. And an unproductive season with the preseason with the Patriots. He will be looking for his fourth team since arriving in the NFL out of the University of Florida in the 2010 NFL draft. The Patriots begin Saturday with 65 players. Big deal. Tebow, let's see what the comments are. With Tebow's time in New England appearing to draw to a close, Robert Kraft told the media earlier this week he was rooting for the devout signal caller. I'm rooting for him. I'm in his corner. Via the Boston Herald. The Boston Herald is a good newspaper. The Boston Globe is a communist newspaper. The Boston Globe is the enemy of the United States. I have the privilege of letting Bill Belichick make that decision. He got a pretty good record at doing that. Tim Tebow tweeted out a message to his fans. I would like to thank Mr. Kraft, Coach Belichick, Coach McDaniels, and the entire Patriots organization for giving me the opportunity to be part of such a classy organization. See, he's got, when he does a tweet, he's only allowed so many words. He's broken it down. He's got about three tweets here. To be part of such a classy organization, I pray for nothing but the best for you all. I will remain in relentless pursuit of continuing my lifelong dream of being an NFL quarterback. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient. For you, the power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Wow. Oh, how they hate him, how the communists hate him. Oh, they hate him. Hollywood hates him. Yeah, if you're not a pervert, you can't play football. If you're not doing drugs, you have no value to Hollywood. Porno Wood, I call it. The home of Miley Cyrus. And so, let's see what the rats say, or the fans. Does this mean he can finally come out? That's a, you know what that's about, right? Yeah, that's from one of those sick Americans, you know, the member of the pervert party. Really, why is he making the front page? I never saw him once. I never saw him once, Tebow, or thank God, when throwing an interception or losing a game. Maybe he recites a man-written verse from the fiction known as the Bible, and just how pious it is to be humbled. But I guess it is God's plan for him not to be a touchdown Jesus. How's that? And that's Seamus and Seamus. And if you're Irish and Seamus, your ancestors are spinning at 7,500 RPMs right now in the grave because you just spit on them all. I guess he didn't pray hard enough. Yeah, that's by B. Carb. It's a picture of a girl. Yeah, God help her husband if she can get one. All the prayers in the world can't help Tebow. Alas, he needs talent. Oh, the experts. If Team Tebow would stop pursuing his own personal interests and start listening to the God he so deeply reveres, he would become a minister. Hey, you can be a minister and play football. Maybe that's what he's going to do. Yeah. No one can hear God because there is no God. It is a holy hoax. Oh, one day you'll be praying to him as the Russians drag you away to stand over the drain while they put a bullet in your head, comrade. And you can say goodbye to the country that you betrayed. I guess all the parading of his religion didn't work. Oh, there's a lot of people that hate Jesus, but a lot of people say his name, and they've been saying it for 2,000 years. And he loves everybody. Good luck, Tim Tebow. As a lifelong Pats fan, all I have to say is, I cast you out, a pathetic excuse for a quarterback. They don't hate him for his football. They hate him for his love of God. And they have no God, except the Democrat Party. Yep, they're all knocking him because of his... What does Peyton Manning have that Team Tebow doesn't? A Super Bowl ring. Oh, beware of false idols. I don't know if they'll... The only time we're going to be going to football games in the future is when the Taliban has executions. And the first ones to go will be the football team. Then you, and then me. Okay. Should I give you another tune? Maybe I should give you a religious tune, Punisher, for your blasphemy. Let's see what we can say here. Oh. Yeah, here's one.
Love was true, and we'd never.